The Cross Conference is this Wednesday through Saturday, which several of our college and career age people are youth are going to, along with Gary and my wife, Colleen, too, so keep them in your prayers. Here we stand at the brink of another year. What will happen in 2019? Will we have more trouble as a nation, more disasters, terrorism? Will there be more war in our world? Or will things be better or more peaceful, more prosperous? I don't know. That's in God's sovereign hands and will. What will happen this year to you and to your family personally? Will it be an easy year or a hard year? A joy-filled year or one of sorrow? A healthy year or a struggling year? I don't know again. That's in God's sovereign hands. But I do know that God would have you draw near to Jesus Christ every day in the coming year. I do know that time flies, and the days of our allotted time on earth get shorter. We're one day closer to the return of Jesus Christ than yesterday. If Christ tarries and I live in 2019, I will turn 60. And have to think, and sorry, I know some of you say just a kid, right? But have the third wedding of my five children on July 20th. I do know that Jesus is Lord, and that He desires we live again each day for His glory. As you begin 2019, how can we live more wisely? How can we honor the Lord daily? That's our question for the day. I invite you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read pretty much the whole chapter, at least the section that leads up to our section and a little bit beyond. Ephesians 5, 1 through 21. Ephesians 5, 1 through 21. Our focus will be on verses 15 through 17, actually mainly just verse 16. Make the best use of your time. That phrase, actually. But let's read the whole section. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word, if you can. Ephesians 5, 1 through 21. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partakers with them. But one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that's good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it's shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully, then, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. I originally planned on beginning my Attributes of God series again, but I read a book recently by a Puritan called Time and the End of Time by John Fox, 1600s Puritan, and he links Deuteronomy 32:29 and Ephesians 5 together, so we will too. So first of all, then, being wise, how do you live wisely in 2019? Being wise means discerning your future end. Please turn back in God's Word, if you will, to Deuteronomy 32:29. Deuteronomy 32:29, the fifth book of Moses, the song of Moses that he taught the people of God, that pronounces judgment upon them for turning away from the Lord. Excuse me. Those who are unwise do not think about the future or where their life is headed, especially in light of eternity. They are preoccupied with the present. And Moses in this song condemns Israel in Deuteronomy 32 for rejecting God, doing their own thing, and chasing idols. Verses 28 and 29. For they are a nation void of counsel, and there's no understanding in them. If they were wise, they would understand this. They would discern their latter end. But they don't. They're not wise. They're unwise because they're not able to discern their latter end. They do not understand or get that God's judgment is coming on them in the future for their disobedience. Many today do not think about what happens after this life. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to think about it. They're preoccupied with what they're doing every day, consumed with the present. If they do think about what happens after this life, many tell themselves not to worry because they aren't that bad, right? And almost everyone goes to heaven, right? Unless you're Hitler or Stalin or Osama bin Laden. Or some think maybe there's reincarnation. I'll come back better next time, or even royalty, right? Well, the Bible tells us that we die once, and then comes the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. Time is short, and eternity is coming quickly. Psalm 90, the Psalm of Moses, talks about the shortness of life. Part of it reads, verses 3 through 6, "You return man to dust and say, Return, O children of man. For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it's past, or as a watch in the night." 1,000 years, over in God's time. "You sweep them away as with a flood. They're like a dream, like grass that's renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers." We are like grass. Isaiah 40 says the same thing, that humans are like grass of the field that's here one day and then withers and fades away. All our glory is like the flowers of the field that fall off, but the word of our God will stand forever. Trisha leaned against me yesterday on the couch. We're down there in Indiana with her and her fiance, and meeting her fiance's parents and all this, and Trisha leaned over and said, "Daddy, I'm getting married." And, the reality of that's still sinking in to me. But for some reason, I thought instantly of the time she was born. And her laying there as a baby, and I sang, "Jesus loves me, this I know for the Bible." And her head turned toward me and looked at me. That image still burned in my mind. How quickly. I said, "Trisha, I remember when you were born, and now suddenly you're getting married." Sin and the pleasures of this world will not last. Hebrews 11, 24 to 26. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. There can be pleasure in sin, but it's just very temporary, short, doesn't last. He, Moses, considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Moses, by faith, was discerning his latter end. Our earthly treasures will not last long. Out of California, 30 years or so ago, we started the phrase, "He who dies with the most toys wins." And many still live that way. The problem is there's no trailer that, behind the hearse, right, on the way to the cemetery. You can't take it with you. Luke 12:18-21. Actually, I'll read the whole parable Jesus told. "The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.'" Retirement is here, right? The American dream. Human wisdom would say, "Man, this guy is great. Look what he's done. He's building new barns and everything else. Look at all the stuff he has." But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. What will you have in the end at the judgment? This life is not all there is. Will you be with Jesus, or are you wasting your life on that which does not satisfy or last? Do you have assurance of a future with Jesus Christ? For the believer and follower of Jesus, the best is yet to come. In 2 Peter 3:11-13, the context talks about the earth melting away and so forth, and it says, "Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn? But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." Praise God. Everything around us we see is just temporary. It won't last. It's going to be burned up in the big bonfire to come. So where are we investing our hearts and our lives and our real treasure? Well, there are only two destinations for eternity: heaven or hell. That's it. In which direction are you headed right now? Jesus, our loving Savior, said in Matthew 7:13-14, as he ends the Sermon on the Mount, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many." If you're an unbeliever, you never trusted Jesus Christ, you don't have to do anything. You're already on the road to destruction. Just stay there and you go right to hell. It is a highway to hell. "For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." God's way is narrow. It's only one way because it's only through Jesus Christ. It's a harder road involving turning from ourselves and sin towards Him by the power of the Spirit. But it's worth it. It leads to life, abundant life, real life, eternal life. But make sure you are not a mere professor playing games with God. Later in the same chapter, Jesus says, verse 21 of Matthew 7, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." In Ephesians 6, we read, don't be deceiving yourselves with empty words. Sometimes people deceive themselves and they set a prayer or something. And one of my concerns as a pastor is, are all of you really in the kingdom of God? Some of you just trusting in a in a in a in a in a mere profession, you said, many, many, many years ago, and you don't really walk with Jesus Christ? On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. I don't want any of you to hear that. I don't want any of you to hear that. And really, really, trust, really having Jesus Christ means knowing him in a relationship and desiring to live for him. Jonathan Edwards, one of my earthly heroes in the 1700s, wrote down resolutions as a young man. He was only 19 years of age. He actually came up with 70 resolutions for his life. But here's some as an example of wise living. His first one was resolved that I will do whatsoever I think to be most to God's glory and my own good, profit, and pleasure in the whole of my duration. Now, pleasure for him meant enjoying God. Okay, so don't take it as selfish stuff. But then number 7, resolve never to do anything which I should be afraid to do if it were the last hour of my life. I wouldn't want to be caught dead. You hear that saying? Well, that's what he was thinking about. And then 17, resolved that I will live so as I shall wish I had done when I come to die. This is a 19-year-old. Very serious. He wisely wanted to continually consider his latter, discern his latter end. May we do the same. Being wise means considering eternity. Secondly, being wise means making the best use of the time you do have. Ephesians 5, 15 to 18 now. Why should we make the best use of time? Verse 16 of Ephesians 5, because the days are evil. Galatians 1, 4, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, there Paul said, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age. Our current time is dominated by evil. We live in wicked times. Paul said in the pastoral epistles, in the last days, terrible times will come. People will be lovers of themselves and not lovers of God and so forth. We are at war. May it change our mentality. We're not at peace. We're at war with the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the devil and his forces are always busy and never waste time. In Ephesians 6, Paul will talk about the battle. And there's an evil day that's coming. We've got to put on the armor of God. We've got to be prepared every day. We live in an evil age full of ungodliness. Verses 3 through 14, Paul talks about this. Filthiness, foolish talk, impurity, covetousness, sexual immorality. What was unthinkable 50 to 100 years ago in our own culture is now normal and accepted, legal, and right, many think. Even our speech, verse 4, is horrible. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking. Anybody ever hear any of that kind of stuff? Turn on your television set, right? It's so confusing in our world, and I'm concerned for our youth especially, that we need God's Word even more as our guide, God's Word and wisdom to discern what's pleasing to the Lord, verse 10. Try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord, because we're in this Word, and wisdom then is to apply this Word to our practical everyday lives. So let us pray for God's wisdom. Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days. Realize that they're short and we have a limited time. So that we may get a heart of wisdom. Making the best use of our time, obviously, first means avoiding ungodly speech, sexual immorality, greed, the things listed earlier in the chapter. 1 Peter 4, 3, Peter says, for the time that's past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. How do we make the best use of time? The word for time here in verse 16 means not just the passing of time chronologically, but opportunity or appointed season. One guide translates it, take advantage of the opportunities offered by time. Galatians 6:10 is a good parallel passage. It says, so then as we have opportunity, it's the same word, time. Let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith, fellow Christians. We are to continually, the King James translates it, redeem the time. And that's actually the original word. To buy up the time or opportunities that God gives us. Time is the most precious commodity. None of it is to be lost. We buy it up by living for the Lord, spending it by taking the opportunities He gives for intentionally living for Him. A number of years ago, the phrase became popular, the Latin phrase, carpe diem, seize the day. It's still a good concept, a good phrase to grab onto. Seize the day. The Christian seizes each day for Jesus Christ. Each day is to be seen as a gift of God, and I want to seize it by living it for Him. We buy it back from evil by surrendering our moments to God. One of the commentators writes, snapping up opportunities to do good and letting go of opportunities to sin or waste our time. John MacArthur writes on this passage, outside of purposeful disobedience to God's word, the most spiritually foolish thing a Christian can do is to waste time and opportunity, to fritter away his life in trivia and in half-hearted service to the Lord. Redeeming the time means not wasting our time or being slothful. People often say, I just don't have time to get into the Bible. We almost always find time for what we really consider important. Facebook, Snapchat, our phone, our games, our TV. What about God's Word? Reading it, listening to it. Today you can listen to it. Colleen listens to it on the tablet every night going to sleep, being read to you. John Fox, in the 1600s Puritan book, talks about a believer in a dark dungeon that had light once a day brought so he could eat. But rather than use the light to eat, he fed his soul. He said, he used the light to read the Bible and said, I can eat in the dark. A limited opportunity. Make the best use of your time. Make the best use of our time also means sharing the gospel, taking God-given opportunities for sharing the good news of Jesus. Colossians 4:3-6. At the same time, pray also for us, Paul says, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I'm in prison. And I always love this. Paul still praying that I may pray for me, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. We pray that for our missions team. They can make the message clear. But walk in wisdom toward outsiders, he says, making the best use of the time. Here he applies it especially to how we are witnessing, how our lives look to the non-believers. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Our speech should honor the Lord and not be purposefully angry, vindictive, etc. 1 Peter 3 again speaks of how we speak to unbelievers. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that's in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. Wow. You're just a sinner. You're going to, having a good conscience so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may put you to shame. Gentleness and respect even towards our enemies and persecutors. Ephesians 4:29, just in the previous section, Paul talks a lot about speech and life there, but he says, verse 29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up. Wouldn't that be a good verse for the whole year? No corrupting, but only that which is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Again, Jonathan Edwards in the 1700s, his resolutions are examples of speaking wisdom. Resolved never to do anything out of revenge. Resolved never to speak evil of anyone so that it shall tend to his dishonor, more or less, upon no account except for some real good. Let there be something of benevolence or good in all that I speak. Being wise means valuing the worth of time. Time once spent is gone. All we have is today, our present. We don't know about tomorrow. It's in God's hands. Let us take inventory and beware of those things which rob us of our time. Again, our phones, our tablets, our TVs, our hobbies, our news fixations. They're not necessarily bad things. They can be good. But let us not let even the good things keep us from the best, which is getting to know Christ, growing in Christ and His Word. Set apart time for God, including time in His Word and prayer. If you haven't done so before, make it a priority as you begin 2019. Let me challenge you, if you never have, especially to read through the Word of God. We've got, I'm told we've got 50 or so of these guides back there that can fit right into your Bible, a guide for systematic Bible reading. It's about 3 chapters a day to read through the whole Bible in a year. 2 Old Testament and 1 New Testament is an example. You can buy 1-year Bible. You can go online. There's daily Bible reading plans online nowadays. But also study the Bible in smaller portions. Get the Word into you in every way you can. As you study in a small portion, ask yourself who, what, when, where, why, the basic questions as you're going through it. And what can I learn about God or humanity in this passage? Well, I better move on here, but no matter what your age, you must make the most of your time. Youth who commit themselves to the Lord have the joy of living their whole life for the Lord without regrets. Many people look back as when they're older and say, I wish I had followed Jesus earlier. I wish I had known the Lord earlier, because they know about the depths of sin. Sometimes people say, I don't have a testimony. I was brought up in church. Praise God! But be committed to Him then and follow Him. You won't have all the regrets. Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. Don't put off commitment to Jesus. Someday maybe I'll think about getting serious with Christ after I've had some fun, right? Someday your whole life may be gone before you know it. Remember that you're created in the days of your youth. Before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. And the passage goes on and talks about old age. Before you become a geezer, serve Him now. Follow Him. Before it's hard and painful, serve Him now. Those in the prime of life, middle age, should dedicate their best days to the Lord. Older people must realize the growing shortness of life. I think many of us that are getting older do, right? Crying out, let my life count for Jesus and eternity. Should we live to old age, we will say, I can't believe it all went so fast. I remember my father on his last birthday on this earth, 88, saying, Pat, I can't believe I'm 88. Where did the time go? Serve Him now, today. Verse 17 and 18, making the best use of our time means not being foolish. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, especially from His book, the Bible. And do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but be filled or controlled with the Holy Spirit. Be continually, let yourselves be continually controlled, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Only He can transform our relationships. And we do that by addressing one another. The filling of the Spirit comes from addressing one another in psalms and hymns and through worship, singing and making melody, giving thanks always and for everything, and submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Well, some concluding applications. Are you sure that you're trusting in Jesus Christ as your own Lord and Savior today? 2 Corinthians 6:2, the apostle writes, in a favorable time, I listened to you in a day of salvation. I've helped you. Behold, now is the day, is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Don't wait. Don't say, well, I'll think about it later. Tomorrow, later, may never come. If God's speaking to your heart by the Spirit now, come unto Jesus Christ and accept Him as your own Lord and Savior. And trust in His death and resurrection for your sins. He took God's wrath for you and died for you on the cross. For those of us who know Christ, may we daily ask ourselves in 2019, these are questions adapted from that book by John Fox. You've lived many years in this world. What have you been doing all your days? Have you lived for God's glory today? Have you had a holy awe of God in the midst of the worldly business of this day? What thoughts of death and judgment, eternity, have you had? Where has your heart been? Where your heart is, there will be your treasure, Jesus said. How have you performed your duties, your responsibilities, your chores, your work this day? What communion have you had with God today? And finally, what have you done or spoken for God in His glory this day, in your family and elsewhere? Have you conducted yourself like a child of God today? Are you living wisely daily for the glory of God? Live in light of eternity. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You for bringing us through 2018. And as we stand at the head of a new year, I pray that it would be a reason to consider how we're living by Your Spirit. I pray if there's anyone in this room that's not really sure they're trusting really in Jesus Christ, that You would drive them to Christ by Your Spirit, show them their desperate need of Jesus, and that they're on the road to hell without Him. May they run and trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. His death for their sins, His resurrection to give them eternal life. Lord, for those of us in Jesus Christ, those trusting Jesus Christ, I pray You continue to show us our need of Christ daily in the coming year, and our daily need of living a life that would honor You, making the best use of the time You give us, because the days are evil. So we want to surrender to You, Lord Jesus, daily. We want to know Your word better. We want to grow in Jesus Christ by Your Spirit, out of love for You. May You be seen in how we live, how we speak, how we act, how we think. May we live daily for Your glory, we ask. In Christ's name, amen. Let us stand and sing a song of consecration. As we begin a new year, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee.